in principio erat verbum, et verbum erat ad pud Deum, et Deus erat verbum. The first verse of the Gospel according to St. John, pronounced in ecclesiastical Latin. Welcome to the Western Traditions Podcast. My name is Rob Paxton, and this is the first episode of The Christian Mythos, the 11th series in my project to explain Western culture and history. Now, the term mythos in many people's minds suggests the idea of illusion or falsehood. Mythos derives, after all, from the word myth, and our modern school systems in the West have taught us that a myth is a lie. That is not the intention of the term here, however. Wikipedia, somewhat awkwardly, defines the word mythos as, quote, a worldview-based body of mythology, unquote. In the context of my podcast, by mythos, I mean to speak really of a cultural atmosphere, the collection of ideas, beliefs, practices, habits, and so on, that a particular religious group or groups manifests and expresses. This series, then, is going to be about the impact of Christianity on the West, and really, how quote-unquote Western came to be somewhat synonymous with quote-unquote Christian. Before I get into all that, though, let me do my usual plug for the website. If you are not already there at the website, please head on over to western-traditions.org. That's western-traditions.org, where you can find all the episodes of this podcast, some helpful maps and pictures, source lists for the episodes, and links to some good books to read. You can also visit the shopping page and buy Western Traditions merchandise or contribute directly to the support of the podcast by using the PayPal or Patreon options. This podcast is also found on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and many other platforms. Wherever you listen, please remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. First, let's begin with some full disclosure. Since this series of episodes is about Christianity, it's fair to say that my own religious perspective and background is relevant to the curious listener. Like many young men raised nominally Catholic in the West, I once entertained the idea of becoming a priest. I may have gone farther in this curiosity than most, since I actually went on a mission of sorts after college for a couple of years, and during that time, I actually corresponded with monasteries about accepting me as a monk someday. Eventually, I ended up married with children, so two roads diverged in a wood, and I chose the route more traveled. Anyway, given that background, you can fairly suspect me of bias. I have been, at times, on the rigidly conservative side of religion. I even used to go to Latin Mass for a few years. I still do occasionally. I am now, like a lot of Americans, a good enough Christian to get to Mass every now and then, especially at Christmas and Easter. The weird thing about me is that I own at least a dozen Bibles in print, several more in digital form, and occasionally I sit down and pray the Divine Office, which is something that generally only monks and nuns do. So, all that said, I suppose I have some stake in the arguments that I will make in these episodes, but to be clear, I am also not a religious diehard willing to perish on the hill of every point of doctrine. As much as possible, I want to view the marriage of the West and of Christianity, this religious romance and consummation that has occurred over the course of 2,000 years, I want to explain it as neutrally and as in as scholarly a fashion as possible. Therefore, I will naturally come at all this from a nominally Christian viewpoint with certain of my own preferences, but I am interested more in educating than in converting. Having said all that, now let's address the purpose of this podcast series. I actually intend it to accomplish a few different important tasks. First and foremost, I wish it to be a supplement to adults in the West who feel that their own education, however good it was lacking in certain cultural fundamentals, especially a grounding in the Bible. Perhaps you have heard that saying that without a knowledge of the Bible, then many great works of art and literature remain indecipherable to you. Shakespeare, for example, as much as you may want to appreciate him, his works will always remain outside your comprehension without knowledge of both the Bible and Greco-Roman mythology, as well as medieval and early modern history and Elizabethan politics, for that matter. But the works of more than just the medieval and early modern writers will be beyond you if you are ignorant of the Bible. Even the atheist philosophers of the 20th century were often writing in response to Christianity or in the milieu of Christianity and biblical theology and morality. So their motives and points will never really be intelligible to you unless you also understand what they were challenging. Which does not mean that you must agree with what you learn here, nor are you even required to feel anything spiritually moving in what you learn. I read the Epic of Gilgamesh every now and then, and I recommend it as a book to everyone, but I don't worship Ishtar or Enlil, and I certainly don't agree with ancient Babylonian morality. The Bible is, simply put, a great work of literature whose content is fundamental to having even the slightest understanding of Western civilization. Secondly, I also hope that homeschool parents who implement the Western Traditions curriculum found on the website, I hope that they can use the episodes in this series to support their own religious instruction, enabling themselves to speak intelligently and cogently about Scripture with their children. Finally, I do not think that one can even dispassionately study just the history of the West without knowing something about the Bible, about Judaism, about Christianity, about Jesus of Nazareth, and about the various expressions of Christianity down through the ages. Now, of course, it is somewhat important to have some understanding of many possibly extraneous topics in order to understand the West. For instance, you might say to me that Islam has had a significant impact on Western history, and you would be right. And so you might ask, why don't you do a series on the Quran? My response is, while I don't exclude the idea of doing a series on the Quran someday, provided that I live the multiple decades already required just to complete the work that I've already taken on with this series, the simple fact is that the Quran is influential but not fundamental in the context of Western history. There is an episode about the Quran in the fourth series about the Middle Ages in order to respect that influence. For this same reason, I do an episode about Norse religion during the Middle Ages series as well, but I don't devote any more time to it. And the same goes for Greek and Roman mythology and religion, though these faith traditions get more than a single episode because their influence is correspondingly more significant. So anyway, here it is then, the Western Traditions Assessment of the Marriage of the Pagan and the Christian, which gave us our culture of today. I have divided the series into sections using alphabetic characters. So series 11A will primarily contain this episode and some general additional commentary about the Christian mythos. Series 11B will be the biggest and most significant section of the series. In that section, I will examine each chapter of the Bible from Genesis to the Apocalypse. This series will be aimed both at adults who simply want to support their own learning as they read the Jewish and Christian scriptures, and it will also be useful for parents who are implementing the Western Traditions curriculum, which is outlined in the 12th series of this podcast. Other sections of this series after that all deal with and explain things such as the Church Fathers, the lives of the saints, various Christian liturgies, and the ecumenical councils, and so on. Until the next episode, then, I thank you for listening to the Western Traditions podcast.